Welcome to Sermons by Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us. We hope this week's sermon gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our new podcast, Crossroads, where we discuss a wide range of topics pertaining to the intersection of sacred and civic. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
Won't you join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, we come once again grateful to assemble together. We say thank you for your presence with us, your love towards us. It is once again that we ask that you might hold us, cover us, keep us, most of all, fill us for the places that you are preparing to send us. This we ask in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. His hour had come. Four words lifted out of the opening sentence of our gospel. These four words provide a key foundational component for everything that will follow. For all who have been on this Lenten journey, and all who may be gathered here this evening, even for those who are joining and connecting with us online, we hear these words: His hour had come. These words invite an opportunity to question and reflect upon all that is taking place in the present moment, all that came before that moment, and everything that will unfold over the next few days. His hour had come. Jesus knew that it was time to depart the world and to go to his Father. The hour had come when he would transform the Passover meal into a sacramental moment, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion. The hour had come when Jesus would face betrayal. He would take on the responsibility of completing the work he had been given to do by his Father. Jesus did this knowing that he had only a few days left to live. His 33 years of life were now down to just a few days. And while we may look at the brevity of his life, although his life was brief in duration, it is long in consequence. I recently read a quote that stated, "The value of life is not in its duration, but in its donation." You are not important because of how long you live. You are important because of how effectively you live. I have a small New Testament Bible in my house that I keep, that my father gave me a long time ago. And oftentimes I pull it out and I'm looking at its worn pages and being able to remember the words that he shared with me, but he inscribed in the cover of that Bible these words: "Time is not measured by the years that you live, but by the deeds that you do and the joy that you give." Reading the gospel, it says his hour had come. And Jesus knew he was marching toward the cross and the grave. But while the cross and the grave were present in his mind, I am certain that his thoughts must have traveled down memory lane and considered the life he had lived. That going down memory lane, his mind probably passed through the moments thinking about the friends that he had made, the loved disciples who had followed him, the crowds who traversed many hills and mountains and valleys just to be with him. Perhaps he thought about the work he had done, the kindness and forgiveness he had shown, the love he had extended, and the helping hand he had offered, as he knew now that his hour had come. For just a moment, maybe his thoughts focused not on how he would die, but maybe for just a moment, he thought about how he lived. Even though there must have been dreaded anticipation for the evening's arrival, as Sunday's cheering crowd had dispersed, Judas, the disciple, had used the previous days before this moment as an opportunity to barter with plotting religious authorities to arrest him and take his life. He must have thought maybe for a moment not about how he would die, but he wrestled with how he lived. There are moments in time when we are all challenged to think not about how we will leave this place, but what did we do while we were in this space? There are moments in all of our lives when we come to face with the brevity of our life, and we think about the life that we have been given and perhaps the lives that we are living. Maybe we think about the ministries that we have connected to, that we're carrying out, or even how during this life we are representing Jesus. Are our lives reflective of the manner Jesus lived his life? It was only a few years prior that Jesus stood and declared that he had been anointed to preach the good news to the poor, that he had been sent to proclaim the release of the captives and the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It was only just a few years ago. In this work and in this life, we have to think about his words, and we must think about the commitments that we've made, the actions that we have taken. But throughout his life, Jesus kept marching toward what many of us spend our time running away from. When facing the reality of the cross and death, when the hour had come, Jesus made certain that his disciples would embrace a necessary component of discipleship. The hour had come, and as we go forth in his name, even on tonight, Jesus displayed during this sacramental moment a great and fundamental lesson on humility and service that should and must characterize all of his disciples, all those who are followers of Christ, and all who identify as Christian. It was on this evening that Jesus carried out the remarkable act, which was to demonstrate to all of his disciples the true spirit that had the power to win the world. Jesus picked up a towel, then he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. I remind you on tonight, before Jesus would ever pick up his cross, Jesus on this night picked up a towel. The disciples and generations to follow had heard, and we still hear Jesus' invitation and challenge when he stated, "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." It was during this moment that Jesus picked up the towel, poured the water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was around him. And perhaps we have not been able to pick up our cross because we have not yet comprehended or embraced the strength that's needed to pick up a towel. Before Jesus was ever lifted up, he knelt down on his knees. Before he was ever lifted up, he washed feet and comforted those who were in need. He humbled himself in order that we might serve others. He did not see this moment as optional, but he told his disciples that it was necessary, not only for his life, but necessary for their lives and the lives that they would live in the days to come. He told them, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do these things. Just as Jesus transformed the night, he gave them a powerful perspective by which to see the world. And I am reminded of a preacher I heard growing up, my neighborhood of Brooklyn, who would always lift and talk about how Jesus gave them a different perspective on that evening. Because we're always given to grading and judging others and judging ourselves, not by the standard of what we do, by what we at sometimes don't do. Jesus focused on a positive morality, he would state. The key word was don't, was not don't. The key word was do. In his own words, as Jesus met with a crowd gathering on a hillside in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not. But I say unto you, thou shalt. After the washing of the feet, not before. After the washing of the feet, not in advance. After the washing of the feet, it was after that Jesus told them, now the Son of Man is glorified. Jesus' words on this evening find a pointed conclusion as Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and that you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Do this, and the world will know you are my disciples. Do this in a world when crosses are worn, crosses are hung, crosses are draped in all kinds of places. All kinds of claims are being made with nationalistic motivations and elitist inclinations. Do this, and the world will know you are my disciples. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he says, it is then that they'll be able to recognize you. When the Son of Man is giving witness to who his real followers are, it is then that they will be able to see who you really are. Because when I come in my glory, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Before he ever picked up a cross, he had the strength, he had the spirit to pick up a disciple, to pick up a towel. And by this, the world will know you are my disciples. Amen.